This is PT Isles, the All Islanders panel discussion show presented by Isles Blog, as we talk everything going on with the Orange and Blue on and off the ice. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Isles Blog and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or listen at nyislesblog.com. I'm your host, Joe Bono, alongside two guys that are extremely excited for spring training because it means they're only a couple months away from doing podcasts every single day. That's the host of the Put It in the Podcast podcast, Jesse Funk and Greg Nemczyk. Guys, how you doing?
Not too bad.
Doing
excited,
good.
Like you said.
I am excited to get back to, Put It in the Podcast, but I'm excited to talk to you guys again. I feel like it's been a while.
So let's start off talking about the Islanders and specifically the goalie controversy or not goalie controversy when it comes down to Thomas Greiss and Jaro Halak. Greiss won again the other day, Monday afternoon, President's Day, 4-1 win over the Detroit Red Wings. It's five straight wins for Greiss, who continues to play well. He's getting all his games pretty much at home at Barclays Center. I think he hasn't played a road game since early January. But right now, guys, you look at just the stats, and Jack Capuano has talked about riding the hot goaltender and really likes to reward players that are playing better, and yet it seems like he's not ready to give Greiss those 2, 3, 4 games in a row. Do you think he deserves it, Greg?
I mean, I don't see how anyone can honestly say that he doesn't deserve it. The only reason that I think people could say that they shouldn't do that is to make sure that Halak, the guy that you're paying more money and he's here longer, you want him out on the ice. You don't want him just backing up. That's the only reason that I could possibly think of where people would be like, Halak has to be starting at this point.
They make a big deal about the amount of games Greiss has played, hasn't played over 25 games in his career. This guy's ready for this. It's not like he's brand new to the NHL. He's been around for quite a while. I know he's kind of maybe new to a lot of people and even some of his teammates based on the quotes coming out of Monday's game about how they really didn't know how good this guy was, even though he was with the Penguins a year ago. But, I mean, why not ride the hot goaltender right now? You look at some of these statistics, Greiss in 25 games this year has a higher save percentage, obviously more wins. And then recently, Jaro Halak has not been good in a couple games, especially that game in Carolina on Saturday night. I know that Jack Capuano, Jesse, feels that the team didn't play very well ahead of him. But, I think right now you don't have to say that, Greiss is your number one. You just have to say that he's your number one, right now.
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just, this doesn't make sense to me why this is a controversy. It should be so simple. Greiss is hot. You play the hot hand. You do that in every sport. In every sport, you play the guy who's hot. And that's what you have to do. Like, Greiss is winning you games. As simple as that. We need to win games because the East is just so tough. It's frustrating that this is like a thing. And this is such a Capuano thing with like the lineup and like line changes. Greiss has to play. He has to play. He has to play.
And, you guys, Capuano actually used a baseball-type quote in the post game on Monday, basically saying, some guys get run support, some guys don't, meaning that the Islanders score a lot of goals when Thomas Greiss plays. And I don't know what the reason is, but to me, I'd be playing him more if my team is scoring more goals whenever he's in the net. Question for you guys. With the next two games, Thursday night in Brooklyn against the Washington Capitals, by far the best team in the NHL, and then back-to-back the next day they're in New Jersey against the Devils, who are right behind the Islanders in the standings right now. Islanders with three games in hand, but the Devils just 1 point behind. Which game do you guys see the most important, and what do you do? Which goaltender do you play in which game?
I gotta stick with Halak against the Caps. He's done very well in his career against the Capitals. I know lately we've been struggling really. We had one of our better games of the season. We just happened to come up short against the Caps the last time we played them a couple weeks ago. But I'd have to go with him and then give Greiss the Friday night game, just because I just don't think that. I mean, Greiss. the only reason really is because Halak's numbers in his career against the Capitals. That's really the only reason at this point.
Okay, I'm going against you, Greg, because I'm going to start Greiss against the Capitals and Halak against the Devils. Because I feel like the Capitals are the better team. Yes, obviously, they're one of the best teams in the NHL this season. Greiss is hot. Play him. Halak is versus the Devils, who aren't, I mean, this is very, like, hot take right here, who aren't the better team, maybe get him going. Simple as that. I don't know. But you're
I'm
right.
I'm curious to see Grice against the Capitals.
See what, yeah, you know, see what he's got.
Halak's got the games against the Rangers. He's gotten all the games against the Capitals to this point. Obviously, he played very well against them in that seven-game series, you know, in April last year. But I think I would like to see the statement made that this is a marquee team coming into Barclays Center. We talked about how well Grice has played at home in front of the home fans this year. Let's see if the Islanders can knock off the Capitals. And if they do, you know, what's the – you got Halak coming back the next night, because I think he's going to split them up. I don't see any way where he plays Grice or whoever plays on Thursday back-to-back, regardless of the outcome. Yeah. But I think Grice Thursday, I would like to see. I don't think it's what he's going to do. I think he is going to go to a lock on Thursday and save Grice for Friday. But I would like to see Grice against the Caps, and then you got a lock on Friday against the Devs. That's how I feel about it, at least.
No, yeah. I agree.
I think that's what's going to happen. I just think it's, I don't know. I had a whole point, and now I just completely blanked. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you're still blank.
yeah. I literally had it. I lost it. Got it back again, and then lost it again. So
no, that means we move on to yes. the next subject. That means
yes.
Pete Isles, Joe Bono, Jesse Funk, and Greg Nimzik. Now on Valentine's Day, Sunday morning, Islander fans woke up. And Larry Brooks of the Post, who doesn't, you know, writes the column Slap Shots, mostly Ranger oriented, you know, occasionally he gets the Islander column in there, but he chose Valentine's Day to write an article entitled Why Brooklyn Frustrated John Tavares Could Bolt to the Leafs in 2018. And, you know, you talk about hot takes. This was a bunch of nonsense, this article. And Larry Brooks is a gifted columnist. He's been around this town for a long, long time. A lot of things I'm sure he's gotten right. I'm sure there's things he's gotten wrong. I just felt that the timing of this article just did not make sense. Tavares got two more years left on his contract before he becomes a free agent. And everyone, guys, are making this big deal about the practice facility being on Long Island and not in Brooklyn and being this inconvenience. First off, the team is 19-8-3 at home, so how much could it be impacting them on the ice? And it's not like the Rangers don't travel 30, 40 minutes to go to their practices in Greenberg and Rye. So I just did not understand where this is coming from Larry Brooks past Sunday.
Could this be because of the Stamkos to the Maple Leafs rumors? Because he's another Toronto boy. Who's another top centerman in the NHL? Could this have all drawn from there?
Well, I think the thought process of Brooks was that Toronto is going to try to acquire Steven Stamkos, and if they don't, their sights are going to be on John Tavares, and could those two sides, you know, lock eyes and have 2018, you know, written down between them? But to me, right now, in the middle of the 2016 season, he's got two more full seasons before free agency. So much can happen. To think that John Tavares has kind of made up his mind and is already looking elsewhere, I just don't see it. I think he likes it here. I think he likes his teammates, and I think he wants to be the centerpiece. And Greg, I don't know how about you feel about this, but you know, Toronto hasn't won a championship since, you know, 1968.
Yeah,
I mean, and. Every star player that goes there has a hell of a time because of the amount of pressure that's on him. I think that even though it's his hometown, I'm not sure if that's an ideal situation for Tavares, Stamkos, or anyone from there.
This is a very – sorry. Yeah. Go, Greg.
No. Yeah, I just don't – I've been hearing about my entire life. I've been hearing about how all these star players want to end up going to Toronto because they grew up a Toronto Maple Leaf fan. They want to bring a championship back to Toronto. And no one ever signs there. It never happens. They get laughed at because Toronto is a terrible franchise overall. So, I mean, it happens year in, year out. And I feel like this is just a Rangers writer trying to rile up the Islanders fans on a dead news day on Valentine's Day. Because it's the New York Post. I mean, honestly.
This is a very, like, NBA thing. How guys always, it's always like, oh, go back to their hometown. Go back to their hometown.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening. I don't see them having the money. Well, they definitely have the money for it, but I just don't see Tavares actually getting up saying, you know what, I've been here my entire career. I'm just going to go to Toronto just because the practice facility is a little further away than I like it.
That part is nonsense. Even bringing that part into the conversation, doesn't make sense. I think people early in the year, guys, felt like Tavares was not playing well, that he was first frustrated with how he was playing, and thought also that he was frustrated with this whole arrangement. But now we look at it, he's got 16 points in his last 10 games. I think we all saw the pass he made to Ryan Strome on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Eyes behind his back of his head. You know, right now he doesn't look like he's upset with the arrangements. He looks like now that he's playing better, he's happier, he's smiling on the bench. I think this was just a premature and trying to draw way too many conclusions type of story from Larry Brooks. And again, guys, we're 2 years away. I mean, the Islanders, if they fall flat on their face 2 years from now and still haven't won a playoff series, maybe Johnny T wants to test the market. But, you know, we're not going to know that for, you know, three more springs.
Yeah, and if we don't make a move to get another guy for Tavares over that time and we don't get out of the first round, then definitely I can totally understand him leaving and would not be even mad at him for leaving. But if we do go out and make a move and get another scorer for him, or we do win a round, I don't see how or why, unless something crazy goes on in Toronto and Lou Lamoriello completely saves that franchise within 2 years, I just don't see how this is possible.
Let me ask you guys this, Jesse. You know, Tavares went to the All-Star game in Nashville. He was the captain of the Metropolitan Division. Didn't necessarily play well in the one period of 3-on-3 that the Metropolitan Division played. He doesn't really seem to excel on 3-on-3, regardless of where he is. But he won that accuracy competition, and he put himself as the captain in that competition. And, you know, is that ridiculous to think that there was a carryover effect to him winning that competition to kind of turning it on here? Post All-Star break?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much I buy into. By the way, it was a beauty. He hit, like, what, 4 of his 5 shots on that accuracy? So it was a beautiful thing. I don't know if I can, like, think that would carry over. Maybe it was just the break, you know, because the Islanders weren't playing well, just frustrated. Get a break, hang out with some of the guys that he grew up playing with. I don't know. Maybe I just think the break helped him. I don't know necessarily if it was the competition, but maybe the break just cleared his mind and he's back because now he's playing great.
I think the bigger thing to take from that is that he's better at lineup decisions than Capuano is.
I think we all are on that one.
Yeah.
All right, well, there's always controversy between the Islanders and Barclays Center, or Brett Yormark versus lifelong Islander fans. This past week, a story that we broke, it was their organist, the Islander organist, longtime organist, Paul Cartier, saying on Twitter when asked if he can play the happy song, telling an Islander fan that favorite song of his had been banned from the arena. We went with it. Got confirmation from a couple other people that the song had not been played the previous two nights. And guys, this created a bit of a firestorm on social media. The amount of times this story was shared, the amount of times the story was read really surprised me. It just shows you how closely and how much the Islander fans are kind of holding on to any traditions they can bring over possibly from Long Island and Nassau Coliseum. And this was just another example of them telling Brett Yormark and Barclays Center, hey, I don't know who's making the decisions over there, but you guys are getting it wrong and you need to get it right.
Yeah. And I mean, it's more just like every single thing that we have, that we want to happen, we have to fight for. It's never just like, you know what? We've put these fans through enough with the whole move. We're taking away first the goal song, then we had to fight back for that. Going up to the glass, stupid remark that he made about the goddamn seats last week or 2 weeks ago.
Sparky's back.
Yeah, like everything that we have to do, we have to fight for.
Ice girls.
They're next. They're next. I don't know if the ice girls are coming.
But it's just like, I don't know why they have to do everything, just make it as hard as possible on themselves, and then they're shocked. They're utterly shocked by every reaction that they get that's negative. They're just like, what? What? Like, why is this happening? Because you take everything that a passionate fan base loves and has loved for 40-something years, and you're just taking it away without even mentioning it, too. Like, someone had to ask the organist himself on Twitter if it was taken away to even like start looking into this. Like,
and I tell you what, Greg, I can't believe how many people came at me on Twitter, on Facebook, being like, where is this rumor from? Who's the source of this? Is a real site going to pick this up? And I'm like, the guy who plays the song is telling you that he was that the song's been banned. And then another post said that he was explicitly told, you know, instructed not to play it.
Yeah.
So I don't care if it was Brett Yormark's decision or somewhere else in middle management. Someone associated with Barclays Center and game day operations told him not to play it. Now, what would be the reason not to play it? Because of the word, you know, suck? I mean, is that what it is, Jesse? Is that why? Is that? I mean, the chicken dance was banned because of the word suck, I guess, by Charles Wong several years ago.
And the goal song, when we used to yell, "You, hey, you suck," they changed that because we would tell the goalie that he sucked.
They don't like the word suck. They have something against the word suck, it sounds like.
Yeah.
This, like, hits home for me because I love doing that. Like, now, I don't know if I ever said this on the podcast before, but I'm an Islander fan living in a Ranger household.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, my brother will come in, do, like, the pot band sucks thing, you know, and I'll go back and forth with him. So it's fun. But, like, why would they ever get rid of that? Like, it really seems like we're, like, the redheaded stepchild really moving into, like, a new orphanage. That is the Barclays Center. And, like, there's, like, whatever you did in with your last family, you're done. You can no longer do that. Like, it's so frustrating.
And I don't understand why they just can't take everything that this team has in place and say, we're going to keep these great traditions or even silly traditions, but if they're important to the fans, they're important to us. And know what? We're going to also, on top of that, find some new things that are cool and fun that add to the game day experience. You don't need to subtract to kind of create this new identity in Brooklyn. You don't need to subtract and take good things away and change things over from Long Island to Brooklyn to incorporate new fans. And that's been my frustration from the very beginning. It's just this misconception as to how to grow the fan base in Brooklyn, in the city, to get people that instead of coming out from Nassau or Suffolk County to start coming from, you know, the borough of Brooklyn or Queens or whatever. People are not going to not come because of that song. That might be a great reason why they come to a game for the first time and they go, wow, this is cool. This team's been around for 44 years. And these are some of the traditions that the fan base has come up with, and I'm going to start doing it too. So I don't know who's advising them, but the people that are advising them are not hockey people and are certainly not Islander people.
Oh, definitely. Oh yeah, definitely. It's just like you said, it doesn't make sense. Like they should have took the Islanders in and being like, listen, a really strong, underrated fan base in New York. Greg, who said it on ESPN Radio?
Don LaGreca said it.
Don LaGreca? Okay.
One of the most underrated fan bases, he said in general, but specifically in New York too, that's been through so much, and now we're going through this as well. Like, he wasn't even mentioning this about it, but just the fact that we stick through with this team no matter what. It seems like coming in there, whoever's in charge of all this just seems to think that we're coming like a brand new franchise. Mm-hmm. We're either an expansion team or we're coming from another part of the country that's not just down a half hour away. Or whatever, an hour away by train. And it just seems like they feel like they have to build an entire fan base, not just add on to the fan base that they already had.
Yeah. And there was a way of doing this without having to alienate the current fan base. And again, my frustration, and I know some people out there on Twitter think that everything that Barclays do, I jump over. I don't want to criticize them, but I continually am stunned at the lack of preparedness for a franchise that had, you know, was coming here 3 years ago. They knew they were coming here. And for Barclays Center, they want to think of themselves on the level of Madison Square Garden when it comes to amenities and the facility and the whole experience. You had 3 years to know what this fan base was about, what they would like, what they didn't like, and it was like they didn't even exist. It's like those 3 years didn't even happen. It was like they found out the Islanders were going to show up one day and now are figuring it out as they go. And I just don't get it. And I find it, you know, pretty inexcusable on behalf of Barclays to be this out of touch with the fan base when you had 3 years to know that they were coming and it was going to be a huge part of what the Barclays Center brand was going to be.
And I think, like, don't worry. I don't know. I feel like they shouldn't worry about making it an experience. Like, did you not just see the building we played in, like, over the past few seasons? Like,
exactly.
We don't care about the experience. We care about, like, our team winning. Like, we'll make the experience. We don't want to go in having to be like, oh, like, this is a nice experience. Like, don't worry. The fans will give you the experience. We'll give the new fans a better experience.
Yeah, and I really think that they're coming at it from a basketball standpoint entirely, because with hockey, traditions are built by the fans year in, year out for every team. It doesn't matter who you are. The Florida Panthers fans throw rats on the ice after a win or a hat trick. So, I mean, they're one of the newest franchises in Florida, and they come up with traditions. We don't need traditions passed on to us, forced on to us, in-game, out-of-game, just any type of thing. Well, we've been around longer than a lot of teams in this league and have one of the most passionate fan bases in this entire league. And they just don't seem to realize that and seem to, like, want to force songs onto us, want to force this or that, because with basketball fans, they're very, very lethargic and not into games at games, unless it's the playoffs, in my opinion.
And, you know, let's talk about last season, now into year. One of the more identifiable things that happened to the Islanders last season that really made the season special was the Yes Chant. And the Yes Chant was started, and the guys in 329, the Blue and Orange Army, and at first some people, season ticket holders, some people a little bit older, fans, resisted. And now everyone does it after every goal, and the team does it at center ice after wins. And that was something that no one drew up in a boardroom. There were no metrics to tell you that this is what the fans want. It organically happened.
Exactly.
And the fans are the people they should be most listening to. And they do it, but they do it reactively, Jesse. They do it after the fact. And I will give Brett Yormark and Barclays Center credit there. And the fact that they don't show, he's not too full of pride to where when the fan base really gets after him, he's willing to still make the change. He's not going to just bite his tongue and say, well, it's either my way or don't come. He makes the change, but the change shouldn't have been made in the first place.
Now, I have a question for you guys. Next season, you know, when it's all said and done, do you think there's drastic changes for next season? Like, do you think, like, they sit down in, like, their conference room and be like, all right, how can we make this better? Or are they just going to be like, well, let's just keep doing things our way and have them, you know, forced to adjust to it?
I don't want them to try and make things better. Every time that they've tried to make things better, they've ruined it to the point where we've had to go out and constantly try and get it back to the way things were. So the only way they can make things better is basically to go back to everything that we did at the Coliseum, in my opinion. I just don't think that they have to. I don't think that they care enough to actually sit down and try and figure anything out.
Yeah, I mean, listen, over time there will be new Barclays Center traditions, but they don't have to occur at the expense of Islander traditions that fans who are already upset about the move that they're longing to hold on to and are not ready to give up on. And listen, people are hypersensitive right now and highly sensitive to anything. And I'm sure it's a little bit of overkill because people do, myself included, get upset at every little mistake that Barclays makes. You know, they got a lot of flack even on Monday because the lighting during warmups was all messed up. It had the lighting on, I think, for the basketball game where, you know, only one half of the rink was lit up. You know, so again, my issue is mostly that this is an arena that wants to think of it as Madison Square Garden on that level. And to this point, I think their performance has left a lot to be desired. Things have gotten better. I will say that the game day experience, as someone who's a season ticket holder and was there in October and was there on Monday, the overall game day experience has been better. The crowds have gotten better, especially these afternoon crowds. There are sellout crowds, and it's a fun atmosphere to be at, but it still has lots of rooms for improvement. And I just hope they use their best resource, the fans, to find out what those things are and aren't, you know, looking outside of Brooklyn, looking outside of the Islander family to find out what those things are. Yeah. That's that's pretty much what my plea is to Barclays Center as we move on to the rest of this year and beyond.
And after this year is the new ownership too. So you really got to think that they'd want to make the best impression possible coming in to a new fan base and want to appease the fans as much as possible. So you have to think that they'd try and get Barclays as away from hockey decisions as possible when it comes to game days and stuff.
Listen, I completely agree. And, you know, Garth Snow and Jack Capuano might be part of those changes if they don't get out of the first round this year with John Ledecky taking over as one of the majority owners for the Islanders next year. So, yeah, I would expect either potentially both major changes on the ice and off the ice for the Islanders next season.
Hey, hopefully JT will have a winger.
Yes, that way he doesn't, and that way he doesn't go to Toronto.
Yeah.
All
right, guys, let's wrap it up with another fun type of topic. And you guys, I know, I don't believe either one of you guys had Valentine's Day plans. Am I correct in saying that?
Yep. Yeah, no, I think I watch movies all day.
But just because you didn't have a date for Valentine's Day doesn't mean that you guys aren't well in tune with what women want, correct?
Oh, correct. I know.
We know too well.
So this story got some traction today, you know, Wednesday on Twitter and social media, that the Islanders, you know, just yesterday started promoting this Hockey in Heels event that they're doing at Barclays Center on Thursday night before the game against the Capitals. Now, the idea is to have some kind of tutorial teaching women hockey 101. Now, this is supposed to go down during, you know, inside the 40-40 club, where there's going to be like some open bar and, you know, some food. And, you know, it's $140 a ticket or $110, depending on where you're going to seat.
Sheesh.
Yeah, it's expensive. So they're charging women $140 or $100 for an hour of being able to drink Heineken. There's cash bar for the high, more premium type liquor and get some finger foods. And then after the tutorial from Islander Scouts, I believe then they were going to have a painting lesson, according to the website.
This is crash and burn.
I'm not
this
kidding.
Sounds awful.
They had a company come in that specializes probably in those type of like paint along type things. That's my guess, to actually take them through a painting of the New York City skyline.
Is this a hockey game or what is this? Like, what the hell are they trying to do?
So my question to you guys is, you know, if you were looking to expand the demographic of the fan base and try to attract more women to the Islanders to coming out to Barclays Center and having a great time, what would be a better way than this to do it?
You try and not be sexist in these things, but this is like sexist to the fullest extent. Teaching women what hockey is, like, I don't know. I think that's a real, real stepping out on a ledge moment right there for whoever came up with this idea. Because this could be crash and burn real, real quick. And it could turn real nasty.
This is a slippery slope. I'd say you can do something like the community. I mean, $140 a ticket, you said?
Yeah.
$140 a ticket or $110.
That's ridiculous.
Is the $110 no painting class or?
No, I think you just get a lousy seat.
A lousy seat? Oh. Yeah, but it's in a club. Like, I've never been to the 40-40 club. I don't know.
I'll read it again for everyone listening, because I'm not making this up, okay? Doors open 6 p.m. First, join the members of the Islander Scouting and Training Staff for Hockey 101 in the 40-40 Club by American Express. After Hockey 101, now remember, this starts at 6 and the game's at 7, okay? After Hockey 101, instructors from Painting Lounge will take you step by step through a painting of the New York skyline. Your painting lesson, game ticket, all-inclusive food, soft drinks, and wine are included of the price of $160. Sorry, I had it wrong. And for the classy girls out there, the food and beverage menu is as follows: Nathan's all beef hot dogs, cheddar cheese sliders, tortilla chips, guacamole, and salsa. And you could also drink either the house red, house white, or Coors Light.
Wow. There's no way people sign up for this, right?
I was about to say, this thing sold out, what, minutes, right? I mean,
I actually, listen, if it wasn't that expensive, I was thinking of actually, like, paying a girl who I know is an Islander fan to like be like our embedded reporter and just kind of, you know, have like a hidden camera, like Dateline NBC, as to what was going on. Because I would just love for the Islander scouts to be there with like two women tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow night. Because like you said, who's buying this?
No one.
Because especially for $160.
You got to think they got to be buying it by themselves too. Because if I'm the boyfriend and the girl, am I paying for? I don't need Hockey 101. I'm not buying $260 tickets.
If you're a guy and you're gonna pay this much to take your girl out, I'm sorry, you're a sucker. I hate to say this, but you're a sucker. I'd rather take
her. Man card has to be taken away too.
Yeah, you just take her out to the bar for beer and wings. Like, listen, this is hockey. Like Friday night at the bar or something, and just do like beer and wings. That's how you're gonna teach her about hockey. You don't have to do a wine night.
How many girls out there or guys out there would do this for free? I mean,
if I get a date out of this, I will do it for free. I'm just putting it out there now.
Greg's available.
And listen,
sliding his DMs.
People, seriously. There were a lot of people, Greg Wyshynski from Yahoo Sports among them, you know, recognized that this was getting some traction on Twitter and made the point that, listen, other franchises have done hockey in heels. I don't have an issue with there being a women-focused event sponsored by a hockey team. But I looked at what some other teams did. I looked at what the Capitals have in place. I looked at what the Tampa Bay Lightning have in place. They did like an all-day event where the women were able to get a tour of the facilities, be in the locker room, go onto the ice, meet current players, meet the coaches, you know, have like a networking event afterwards. Like these events sell out for these other organizations. So again, with me in Barclays Center, it's not the idea. I'm not offended by the idea of hockey in heels and trying to get women exposed to the game and open up that demographic. But the execution, 6 o'clock it starts. You have to fit in the painting lesson and then face off at 7.
You have to learn an entire sport, paint an entire New York City skyline, and drink while doing this just to make the money like off of what you're paying for this all in an hour.
How is this all good? I feel like I'm disqualified because I can't go as a guy, obviously, but I'm just so fascinated as to how this all is going to happen in 1 hour. Like you said, they're going to learn the entire sport of hockey, get the painting lesson, still get their money's worth at the open bar pounding some Coors Light tall boys, and then be in their seat for the national anthem.
You know what? I think I'll throw a wig on and go to this.
You can pass off as a girl.
Yeah, throw a wig on me. It'll be like Joanna Mann or something. Mrs. Doubtfire it. Because this is the most ridiculous. I'm literally baffled at this. Like you said, Joe, I think it's a good idea, you know, if you want to get women in, like, to hockey, you do something like that. I think that's a pretty cool thing to do, like the hockey in heels. But, like, this idea, the first idea... Like, what was the other idea that they're like, no, let's go with this one?
It had to just be like, oh, I have this idea for hockey and heels, and this was the idea, and they're just like, yes, let's not even discuss it more. Just go do it, man. You got this.
And, like, again, like, they started promoting this, like, to my knowledge, 2 days ago. Like, I had not seen anything on this before the tweet yesterday, and I actually saw a sign at the game on Monday. So I don't know what girl... or what woman is not going to these games already?
If they like, want to do
open something. It up. Open it up for women. Here's an idea. For women going to the game on X date, right? For an extra $25, $30, right? Come to the 40-40 club between 6 and 7 and get a tutorial on hockey. You're already in the arena. You've already paid for your ticket. You're paying a little bit extra for a little bit of an open bar, a little bit of, you know, finger foods, and you get to learn. That actually makes some sense.
Yeah. No, yeah, 100%. Or set up a thing where you could, like, hang out with, like, the player of your choice.
I was like, going to say, or, like, do something just, like the player's wives or something.
Yeah, Sydney Esiason's here. I mean, come on. Like, utilize some of the assets you may have. I'm not sure if she'd be willing or able to do it, but, yeah, there's just better ways to go about doing. I don't know. Again, I got one more for you guys, and then we'll kind of wrap this up. All right. Because, I hate, I don't want to be a Barclays just bash all the time. But
some of these promotions, I honestly think you're the fairest out of a lot of people that I discuss.
I don't condone the bad language, the cursing, the yelling, the name calling. I will never ever do that. It's just that I want this franchise to be, you know, a top franchise and a marquee franchise, and I think they can do that. I think there's a great opportunity in Brooklyn to do this, and I just get so frustrated at the execution. So they have another promotion going about upgrading your seat, okay? Mm-hmm. So they send out an email saying, you know, great chance to upgrade your seat, the seat that you've already bought a ticket to the game, okay? Okay. So let's say I'm sitting in section 225, of Barclay Center. I get to the game and I go onto this app and I click on upgrade my seat. The seats they show me are like $180, $200 seats down below.
So wait,
and they're giving me like, yes, and they're giving me like a $10 credit. They're like, oh, here's your $10 credit. So I already paid for my ticket. I'm in the seat. And now you're giving me $10 credit as incentive to now buy a $200 ticket lower?
How is that? That's not an upgrade. That's just more seats.
And you can't do this until you're in the arena. Apparently, like it's only valid. The upgrade's only valid. I'm like, this is crazy to me.
And guarantee they get people to do this. That's the only reason they're doing this too. Because
there's no way. Be doing it.
Sneak down the old fashioned way, like everyone else does. Like Usher isn't looking, boom, that's when you go.
I snuck down back in October, and it's got to be more lenient now. People can definitely sneak down, so don't pay.
They're tough. This whole like reshowing your ticket thing.
You know what, Greg?
A lot of people get very upset about the reshowing of the ticket. You could ask me to see my ticket once or twice, maybe like once on the initial way in, but like if it's between the second and third period and I got a beer and a couple, like, you know, a sandwich in my hand and my winter coat, like don't be asking me for my ticket in the upper bowl. Like, I'm not trying that hard.
You know what, this just reminded me, actually I'm going back on what I just said. It was hard for Greg and I just to sneak up when we went.
Yeah,
we couldn't sneak up a section.
Yeah, we tried to go from down low to up top, and they were giving us a hard time. Yeah. How does that even make sense?
You guys are trying to do the downgrade.
Yeah. We're trying to downgrade.
We're trying to help these people, and we should have got money for that, for downgrade seats.
Yeah, can you do that? Can you downgrade and get money back?
Yeah,
here's my plea. If anyone is listening to this, and I'll post it tomorrow on Twitter, Facebook, if anyone goes to the Hockey and Heels event, please give us a full recap. We want to know what that was like. And maybe the three of us are just completely wrong, and, you know, we don't understand marketing, we don't understand these demographics, we don't know what women want, and especially when it comes to wanting to learn about hockey. So please tell us that. And if anyone has actually done this seat upgrade, I need to know. I need to know what would have compelled you to leave your perfectly good seat and pay full price for another seat in the building.
Well, full price minus $10. That $10 could get a lot of people.
And again, there is potential on this. For games where it's not sold out, you should be able to pay X amount of dollars, let's say $20 extra, to move down to an unoccupied seat in a different section for the second and third period. If you wanted to,
or if it was like $160 for way down low, or $200, whatever the price may be for an Islander Ranger game, that's okay. I can understand that too. But just for, say it's a random game against the Coyotes on a Tuesday night, really? Like, you're going to pay, anyone is going to pay any type of money to move up during that game. It's just, it's ridiculous where they come.
I just can't believe they don't even let you like say like, oh, well, I paid $80 for my ticket, so I'm going to apply that $80 I already spent to the full price ticket that I'm going to buy now for the upgrade. Like, I just don't know. There's maybe a lot of people smarter than me. If I have it wrong, if people listening to this and I got this wrong, but I've actually read the whole thing and I went through the process other than hit checkout, so I'm pretty certain that I got it right, and it just doesn't much sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Or if someone is going, just Periscope it.
Yeah,
so Periscope. We all can see.
Please.
Yeah. Give us something.
Please Periscope heels in hockey, or hockey and heels. I keep on mixing it up. Tomorrow night, the 40-40 club, the tutorial. You'll know about icing. You'll know what the hat trick is.
I think
you'll have some guacamole, have some Frankfurters.
More people are going to find out about hockey and heels from us just trying to figure out what the hell it is and from the Islanders themselves.
I'm just picturing like a lovely lady with like a hot dog in the left hand and a paintbrush in the right, yeah.
Speeding through her painting so she can actually watch the game.
Yelling at her boyfriend to get her another beer. Like, just constantly, just everything going wrong.
People are either laughing at this or they think we're all jerks right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, listen, that'll do it for another episode of PT Isles. Guys, follow us on Twitter at Isles Blog. You can listen to us on the podcast, subscribe on iTunes, or listen via SoundCloud on nyislesblog.com. Jesse, Greg, I know you guys were alone this Valentine's Day. I do not expect that to be the case for Valentine's Day 2017. I think you could pick up one of these girls at one of these hockey and heels events. You got everything. You got everything they need. They need the knowledge, and you guys got that.
I think we should just go, Funk. We should just go tomorrow and like just find dates, or just date each other. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, maybe. Are they against that? All right, that's over the door. Let's end this episode.
All right, he's Jesse Funk, along with Greg Nimzik. I'm Joe Bono for PT Isles. We'll see you all next time. You've been listening to PT Isles, presented by Isles Blog. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at IslesBlog, and tweet us your comments, questions, and topics using the hashtag PTIsles. You can watch every episode by subscribing to the IslesBlog YouTube channel or view it at nyislesblog.com. To listen to PTIsles and the IslesBlog podcast, search for IslesBlog and subscribe via iTunes.